MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
The show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. I'm chatting with Lyle Sonkai, fund manager at PSG Asset Management. Lyle, appreciate your time today. A note that came out, I think it was just over a week or so ago, about rethinking portfolios for the next decade, particularly in light of inflation that we're seeing around the world. I suppose let's kick off with some of that history of inflation. If we start in the US, I mean, we've seen, sub 2% inflation there for a decade plus now, and that is probably over.
Yes, Simon, and thanks for having me today. I think that's the key question right now that the market's grappling with. And I think perhaps it's important to just sort of ground the discussion in why it's actually important. I think, you know, if you're looking at the market, inflation tends to drive returns. And if you look at the fixed income space specifically, bond yields will track inflation. So, you know, in a world where inflation is quite low, as you mentioned, for the last 10 years in the U.S., there's no real need to sort of chase coupons because you don't have inflation that can erode that over time. And we think this is where the dynamic has potentially changed. If we look back at the U.S., I think, 2% inflation target that's been underachieved for the last 10 years is seen as the norm. But we think if you look back at the last few decades, inflation's actually been closer to 4% on average. And so in our minds, this is actually not the norm. And there are big factors in play that can change this going forward.
Yeah, as you point out, I mean, it's been an unnatural decade. And post the global financial crisis, we understand that some of the drivers behind that low inflation. If we bring it back to the South African context, I mean, we have had inflation targeting now for just over two decades. It's pretty much worked. But a really great stat that you make in the note that you wrote is that actually if we look at individual months, almost half of them were outside of the band. And of course, they were above the band, not below.
Yes, that's correct. And I think, core to our thesis is the Reserve Bank. I think, it goes unsaid that their actions have been world-class in recent years in ensuring inflation credibility. So I think, the first point that I'd pick out in inflation in SA is that the market got really used to a 6% inflation target. But we think, as you've seen now, the market's closer to that 4.5%, which has a big impact on, the type of asset classes you invest in the income space. The second point on that is that, if you look at the volatility, as you mentioned, around that 6% mark, we think that volatility is, reduced quite significantly, which means as a bond investor, you're more likely to get a bit more confidence around your inflation-beating returns going forward.
And that also means, if we quickly touch on rates, we've seen a rate increase. It was just a quarter of a percent. But it also suggests that probably we're not importing any inflation because there's very little demand in South Africa. Certainly the commodity boom, that might have some implications, some sort of second round effects. But we can likely expect to see interest rates also staying probably lower, maybe not coming back down, but lower than we're used to if we look back a decade or two or three ago.
Absolutely. And I think, that's the key message that we sort of talking through is that in SA, we don't think it's necessary that the SARB needs to get back, to 7% on the repo rate, just given the factors we've mentioned on inflation. So the dynamics change. The expectations are lower. So if you think about, typical asset classes that would do quite well, your cash, your money market instruments or money market funds, corporate bonds, which do well when the repo rate is quite high, we think that's going to be a long time, if not, where the SARB doesn't get back to 7% before you start earning very good yields there. And in that kind of world where bonds are giving you, 3% to 6% real yields, on very short bonds, we think that's probably the better area for investors to be focused on.
That's just it. I mean, and you talk around multi-asset income funds, and they're becoming attractive. We're looking at them, and for those who are looking for that sort of yield or that sort of perhaps slightly safer asset class, they really are starting to look quite attractive. And I think they've probably been ignored a fair bit over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I think, this is a category of funds that actually, received quite a bit of flow in the last year. And I think the key message that we like to, impart with clients is that in that space, you can actually be very flexible with the way you utilize government bonds. So, you know, when we look at the market valuations now, we would have a lot less than we would have had in the past in that shorter-term instruments. Where I think if you can get a 5 to 6% yield, which isn't enough for clients, I think, you know, you do well. We'd rather have a bias to these government bonds, but then you need the vehicle that can, you know, be fully flexible, which means, you know, taking on some duration risk and interest rate sensitivity, which we will be, you know, overweight at this point. I think, you know, in that portfolio, I guess the comparison would be to a, you know, typical bond fund. I think what you can do there is sort of create a more balanced portfolio where you don't have to be in the highest yielding or the longest dated bonds. There's enough, you know, valuation attractiveness in the 5 to 10 year area of the curve. And that's where we think you can exploit it through that fund, but being overweight bonds relative to where you would have been in the past.
You mentioned duration risk. Enlighten us what your meaning is in duration risk.
Yeah, so apologies for that. So duration risk is simply, you know, when interest rates rise, you know, that's the sensitivity of the portfolio against that. So when interest rates rise, you lose. And conversely, we think where bond yields now are trading now, you're probably in a scenario where bond yields will revert lower going forward. So you want a bit more interest rate sensitivity now, so that you can generate good returns.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes sense. A last question, and a point you made in the note as well, is that GDP growth this year, 2021, is surprising to the upside. We've still got some data to come, but what we've seen so far has looked better. And that's notwithstanding a tough year. The violence in July, of course, pandemic is still with us. But you're actually saying that it might even surprise again to the upside in 2022.
Yes, I think, I mean, we aren't necessarily painting blue skies for South Africa, but I think if you look at the budget, I mean, the budget is projecting around 1.7% growth for the next few years, and that alone gets us to some sort of consolidation. So the budget is very much in line with what we would think in terms of messaging, but a little bit of uplift from this changed global backdrop, like you saw this year, reflation globally tends to do well for emerging markets. We think, you know, 1.7% might be a little bit low. But again, you know, just emphasizing, we don't need a lot of growth for a lot of the asset classes in SS to do quite well. You're really receiving 9 to 11% yields on the bond curve, which is quite high relative to where inflation is.
Yeah, no, that is a good chunky proper return that one's getting. We'll leave it there. Lars Sanker, Fund Manager, PSG Asset Management. Really appreciate the time. Chatting there with Lyle about adjusting your portfolio as we start to accommodate higher inflation, which particularly in the US, we haven't seen in a very, very long time, a decade or longer. Question on our LinkedIn and Twitter poll today, have you been making changes to your portfolio with inflation in mind? Have your vote, have your say at MoneyWeb on LinkedIn and Twitter. The show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit StanLib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.